We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our exclusive NFL draft coverage here on Sports Radio is brought to you by SBLI, the no-nonsense life insurance company. Joining us on the AT&T hotline, AT&T, a better 3G experience, is the football guru from WEEI.com. And one of our co-hosts on NFL Sunday, Chris Price. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Not bad. Hey, can we loop 4A in on this, too, and get a little NFL Sunday reunion going?
That wouldn't be bad.
You know, I'm not sure. 4A is probably slicing pepperonis and stuff. You know, the food doesn't cook itself there at Surly Johnson's.
Or hungover.
Or it might be that,
or just hungover.
Tell us as honestly as you can, no hindsight being 2020, what was your immediate reaction when Devin McCourty's name was announced last night?
My immediate reaction was I wasn't crazy about the pick, but I just posted something. And I think in hindsight, right now, he represented, if you're looking for a cornerback at number 27, he represented pretty good value for you right now. He was known as a physical corner, not great hands at Rutgers, but a pretty physical corner. He also really, and I think this figured into it as well, I think this had to have figured into it as well, he has phenomenal special teams numbers. And you look at the numbers, you look at the tape. I looked at some of the stuff this morning and kind of reading up on him and kind of going back and looking at what he did as a special teamer. That had to figure into it as well. He was an absolute special teams demon at Rutgers. Again, if you're looking for a corner at number 27, I think he was a pretty good pick. My question is, I don't think the Patriots should have been looking for a corner at number 27. I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Chris, who did you want them to draft at 20? I was going to say at 27, but we started at 22. Then we moved down to 24. Then we saw another move to 27. Who did you want to see them pick with their first-round pick?
I think they should have gone after a defensive lineman, a pass rusher. Someone in the mold of Jerry Hughes. I thought Jerry Hughes would have been a really good fit here. I know NFL Network, Mike Mayock, who is very, very close with Belichick, had him going to the Patriots at number 22. I think he would have been a good fit in this system. I think he does a lot of things that the Patriots need. I've always been beating the drum ever since the beginning of the offseason that they need to go out and they need to get a pass rusher. They need to improve on that pass rush. They had real problems consistently bringing the heat on opposing quarterbacks throughout the season. We all saw that. They needed to get a guy who would go out and get after the quarterback. I thought Hughes would have been a great fit at 22.
Chris, do you see anybody on the board now? I mean, we know there's some great, as a great quarterback or two still there. You think if Colt McCoy is, if he's your idea of a great quarterback, or Jimmy Clausen, good receiver there in Golden Tate. But is there anybody there at DN or outside linebacker that you're crazy about?
There are a couple of guys that I was crazy about before the draft, and I think there's a story out there today that says Sergio Kindle needs a microfracture surgery, which I think is a huge red flag at that stage of his career.
Sure explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It really does explain a lot. I think I have to believe that played a role in him falling as fast and as far as he has so far. I think if you can go out and get a guy, like a Kindle, I think you need to get a guy who the two priorities, I think, for the Patriots today, you got to get a pass rusher. You have to do something about that pass rush. And you have to get a pass catcher, whether that pass catcher is a tight end or a wide receiver. Those are the two spots I figure the Patriots have to focus on today.
Do you expect that at any point this season that Devin McCourty will be a starting cornerback for the Patriots?
Unless there's an injury, I don't think that Devin McCourty will be a starting cornerback as a rookie for the Patriots. I think he'll fill in very nicely on nickel coverage. And again, as we said before, I think he will be a real special teams presence for a team that struggled to find some real consistency in the kick return game last year. But no, I don't think McCourty as a rookie is going to be a starter this year, no.
One Globy now, Chris Gasper, and one former Globy, Ron Borges, have both made the point that this pick of McCourty is an indictment of previous Patriots drafts and an admission on their part that they've screwed up at that position. Do you agree with that take?
Well, I think you have to look at this in the context of the performance last year, the non-performance, really, of guys like Terrence Wheatley and Jonathan Wilhite. You know, I'm not ready to lump Darius Butler in there. I think Darius Butler showed a lot of good things last season. But, again, we talk about picking up a cornerback, and, you know, it's not too far removed from the days of picking up Wilhite and Wheatley. And then last year you gave a huge contract, not a huge contract, but a good contract to Sean Springs. And a couple of months ago, or about a month or so ago, you gave a big contract to Lee Bodden. So I do think it's interesting in that regard. But, yes, to answer your original question, I do think this could be seen as an indictment on some of the cornerbacks that they have taken before, namely Jonathan Wilhite and Terrence Wheatley.
Hey, I'm curious to get your take on a former Patriot and his work last night. Is Josh McDaniels really brave or really dumb?
Boy, he's going out on a limb, isn't he?
I mean, he traded away arguably the best wide receiver in the draft, and as Michael, best wide receiver in the league, and as Michael pointed out to me a few minutes ago, traded him for, in effect, the second best wide receiver in the draft.
He did. He essentially swapped. You know, if you get right down to it, I mean, you know, he swapped the wide receiver for Georgia Tech, and the name is escaping me right now. He swapped him and Tebow. He got those two guys in return for Cutler and Marshall. And so he's really going out on a limb. I think the Tebow pickup, I think when you look at what he's going to be asked to do this year and maybe next year, I think it's a good gamble. I think it's a good experiment because he's not going to come in and have to be the guy right out of the gate. He's going to be able to get a chance to sit and learn the system and essentially take a redshirt year. And I think that's the best thing for Tebow at this stage of his career, to kind of get into the system, learn the system, get up to speed at the NFL level, and then we're going to see if he's, you know, if he has what it takes. But to use a first-round pick on a guy who essentially, you know, you're going to acknowledge is going to be a redshirt, I don't know, that's awful tough.
Price, I'm going to go back to the Patriots for a second. A lot of people, most of the people who have called here today and have texted and emailed, aren't crazy about the pick of McCourty. Do you think in the second round, is there a position that the Patriots could focus on that would surprise you? Is there a, whether it's receiver, quarterback, safety, is there anything they can do today that will be shocking to you?
I think if they take another defensive back, I think if they take a corner or a safety, I think that would surprise a lot of people because, again, I think when you talk to most people heading into the draft, you had to put cornerback, I don't want to say way down on the list, but you know, cornerback, at least a lot of people believed, was not their number one priority. You wanted to get the pass rusher, you wanted to get the pass catchers, again, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver, and maybe running back. But you know, I think it would be really surprising if the Patriots went after another defensive back today, whether it's a cornerback or a safety. I think that would really throw a lot of people for a loop.
You know, I said this to Dale maybe a couple of months ago, half joking. Wouldn't it be funny if Bill Belichick looked at the team needs and saw something completely different than most of us see? I've been hearing for months, and I've been saying for months, they've got to get a pass rusher. They've got to get a pass rusher. Do you think there's a chance that Bill Belichick looks at his team and says, we're fine there. What we really need is some linebackers who can stop the run and some cornerbacks who can cover?
Well, I think then you look at if they do go out and do something like that, then I think you have to go out and start to think about moves that you can make before the start of training camp over the course of the summer. That at that point, you look at a guy like a Kirk Morrison, and you think about bringing him in. And then you look at the players that are out there, and there are some players that are still left out there. I mean, you know, it's not exactly top choice, but at the same time, there are guys out there who can, you know, who represent, again, here's the word, good value. That you can pick up out there. They had a number of veterans come through Gillette Stadium this spring, so you could look at those guys. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, the rest of the weekend is going to be very interesting. The Patriots are never boring. They have a ton of picks. They're going to make some more moves. They have a lot of flexibility, especially with those second-round picks. Those three second-round picks, I think, are going to be really interesting. The way they operate, the way they choose to do business, it's never boring with these guys.
Is Golden Tate a name today that would get you excited?
I think Golden Tate is a name that would get a lot of people excited. From what I know about Tate and from everything that I've seen, heard, and read, he would be a very good fit in that system. And it's also worth mentioning in the context of this conversation that Golden Tate comes from a program, at least up until this year, was run by one of the premier graduates of Belichick University, and Charlie Weiss. So I think that transition from the college level to the pros, would, especially if he came to the Patriots, would be a little bit easier for a guy like Tate.
You said you'd be disappointed or surprised if they picked up a safety or if they picked up another corner. I'm going to tell you another position that I think is an area of need for the Patriots, but not an area where people watching tonight are going to get fired up at their draft parties, and that is offensive line, whether it's guard or tackle. What do you think?
They do. They need some depth there. I wouldn't say that's an immediate need as much as the other areas, but they do need some depth at that spot. I know there was some talk, I think Todd McShay talked a little bit about it yesterday, about the Patriots going after Marquise Pouncey, and Pouncey came off the board a little bit before the Patriots. You have to imagine that he was at least on their radar screen. Again, the Patriots do need some depth there, especially at the guard position. You can't imagine that Stephen Neal is going to be around much longer, and you have to start thinking about the future. I know they're very high on Dan Conley, but I looked at Dan Conley in a similar light that they looked at Russ Ockstein a couple of years ago. He can do a lot of things well, but he can't do one. You know, he can't do any of them great. He's a good utility man along that line and can patch a lot of holes. But you're right, Michael. They do need some depth on that offensive line. Looking at a guard, looking at a tackle, it wouldn't be surprising to see them take one or two guys as the draft rolls on.
It sounded as though the overall reaction in the room last night when this was announced was dead silence.
Yeah, it was surprise. It was real surprise because, again, you know, we all thought that they were going to go after a pass rusher. We all thought that someone like Hughes, that someone like Kindle was going to be there when they picked it, you know, 22 or 25 or 27 or wherever they decided to pick. In their decision to go after a defensive back was a little bit surprising. Again, when you consider the moves that they've made at that position over the last couple of years, again, giving Bodden the deal, giving Springs the deal before the start of last season, bringing in a guy like Darius Butler, it was a surprise, to say the least. Dale,
what would have been your response if they didn't draft a corner and they didn't draft a pass rusher, but they had selected Dez Bryant of Oklahoma State?
I think that would represent a great value. I do, Michael. I'm with you. I had three or four guys that I thought, you know what, these are the guys. I circled them on the sheet, you know, and Dez Bryant was one of them. I thought Bryant would have been a good fit here in New England. You know, there were some red flags raised about character along the way, but I think that you get him here, you get him in the system. I think a lot of those would have been ironed out. I think Bryant would have been a good fit here in New England. I also want to make sure that people know, and I said this, and Belichick kind of reiterated it last night, that the signing of Torrey Holt did not affect their overall draft process. Torrey Holt is a nice complimentary signing, but he doesn't change the way you go about doing business on draft day.
I sure hope so. I hope they're not counting, okay, we don't need a wide receiver now. We got Holt and Patton back. We're all set.
Exactly, yeah. And I know we talked about how they were bringing veterans through here. I know that they brought some other veteran wide receivers through here. They've looked at some guys. They kind of kicked the tires on some available veterans out there. I don't think that the acquisition of Torrey Holt and before that David Patton changed the way they approach things heading into this draft.
Well, Chris, you know what you have to do now since David Patton has been added to the team and Algie Crumpler has been added to the team and Torrey Holt. Now you've got to go back and recount the Patriots. You ranked them 1-53. You got to rank them all over again to see where Torrey Holt ranks now.
You know, I got the long snapper up there in the 30s, right?
Oh yeah. Fourier was hating you that for that one. Now, Price, before we let you go, what are you working on at WEEI.com that people will go crazy for?
Well, I just did a piece today, kind of a second day look at Devin McCourty. And one of the things that really stood out for me, and this is what I mentioned in the piece, is the Patriots, when it comes to their evaluation of wide receivers, really put a lot of emphasis on guys who do well in the three-cone drill. Not so much guys who are fast, but guys who are quick. And I went back this morning and looked at the results of the three-cone drill at the combine, and guess who killed it? Devin McCourty. So I think that should do it well.
Oh, thank God the three-cone drill numbers were good.
But that's one of the things that they look at, guys who are quick, not so much guys who can run 40 yards in a line fast, but guys who can change direction, guys who have a little bit of quickness. That's one of the things I hit on. Kind of a second-day look at Devin McCourty. We're also going to have full draft coverage all day, all weekend long up at WEI.com. That's worth checking out.
All right, pal. Thanks. Good to talk to you.
Take care, guys.
See you, Chris.
Okay, Price. Take care, man.
Chris Price, the NFL guru from WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.